So we've got a special guest here today, which is Rachel Carew. Kathleen, give us a little breakdown on our guest today.
We do, special in a variety of ways. Rachel is a writer. She's a singer. She's a life coach, inspirational coach, and she's the author of a new book, Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. And so we're excited to have her with us. We're going to pick her brain.
I wonder if they got 12 steps for that one.
Probably more.
All right. Rachel, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you have to tell us about your book and tell us how you came up with this recovering situation. I find it very fascinating because most people don't ever want to recover from being perfect. Because that's what everyone thinks they are at some point, you know. But I guess, you know, all these medias out here lets us know that we're far from it.
Well, I actually really appreciate that comment because when I was playing with the title, my initial title was From Perfectionist to Performer, and some feedback I got was, well, what's wrong with being a perfectionist? So some people do have that perception of perfection being something that we're striving for or wanting to attain, and it's really a myth because it is impossible to be perfect. That is what I have learned and continue to learn, and perfection is really all about putting up a shield to protect us from our own perceptions of being inadequate or having shame or judgment. And the way I came about writing the book was I realized some time ago that I was a perfectionist and have been working on that for many, many years. It is a ongoing journey. And I had a variety of situations going on in my world a few years back that led me to the inspiration to share my journey with others to hopefully inspire them to be able to really be more of all of who they can be and own their power, own their gifts, and be the best they can be instead of trying to hide behind that shield of perfection.
Wow. Hmm. What is your background, Rachel?
My roots are in human resources.
Very popular field.
Yeah, I've worked in the field for over 19 years. I've had my own practice, which is called Ray Development, for the last 13 years as a professional coach, speaker, and facilitator. And before my professional persona, my first passion was always around singing and performing. And I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts many moons ago. At the time, I was a full-fledged perfectionist. And
I think Kathleen went there. She got her drama queen degree there.
Oh, my God. See what I have to work with on Tuesday mornings,
she got
Rachel?
I feel for you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
And her life decoaching.
We don't want to zap Kathleen, right? Yeah, I didn't get into their second year program, which at the time was my first big rejection. And being a full-fledged perfectionist at that point, I turned my back on performing for over 20 years. And anytime I would attempt to sing, my arms would literally be numb at my side. I was the human resources manager at EMI Music Distribution for 10 different record labels, and no one had a clue that I sang.
Wow.
Oh, how did you ever hold that in?
It was tough.
I mean, I'm looking at your picture and this bright, bubbly red color. I mean, that must have been very difficult.
Well, a whole shift for me occurred about 7 years ago that started with a car accident. And I, as a result of the accident, went to physical therapy. And while I was there, I saw a flyer for a workshop called Joy of Singing. And I thought, what the hell is that? Joy of Singing. And it intrigued me. And I looked into it. And it turns out that it was a workshop around facing your fears through singing. And I wound up taking the workshop, and that led me immediately back into performing, into taking those headshots, and I was creating cabaret shows for a while, producing them and bringing in other singers. And then over about the last couple of years, I got the inspiration to start actually incorporating singing into some of my speaking and training engagements. So it's been quite a journey.
Wow, what a journey. That's so cool. That's
an extra treat there.
I'm going to need a lot of voice coaching to get to that point, though.
Well, you're doing it already, Kevin. Here you are on your show.
Well, you know, my next question for you is, so you wrote your book. So what did you go through in writing the book? What did you have to have happen? What did you have to overcome? What steps did you take? Did you have writers working with you? Tell us about that process.
Sure. It was definitely an investment in, and it caused a lot of reflection, which is good because I'm really what I'm most passionate about in my business and in life is inspiring reflection and results. I think so many times in our day to day, we get so caught up with the crisis du jour that, you know, we don't make time to really reconnect to who we are and what's important to us. And once I began writing, that's exactly what happened for me. I thought initially being in recovering perfectionist mode, oh, I have this outline of the book, you know, I have an ending, it's all, you know, tied up in a nice little bow. And then as I started to write, my life continued to take a totally different direction than I thought it was going to take. We had all kinds of challenges going on financially and health-wise, and all of that became part of the book, you know, which I wasn't expecting to do. And in terms of writing the book itself, the only time I could really find to write without being interrupted and with my work and my family was I would wake up at 5:15 every morning. And I spent just about 20 minutes every morning writing. Eventually, I took a writing class as well. That was very encouraging, and that helped me as well in my process. But yeah, it was definitely a journey.
Rachel, let's back up just a little bit here. When it comes to perfectionism, and we all know a perfectionist or live with one or work with one. You're married to one. I'm not married to one, but I grew up with one. My father was a perfectionist. In your opinion, is perfectionism, is it something that's genetic, that is in us? We're either born a perfectionist, or is it something that we actually instill, or that's instilled in us, or that we instill in our kids? I mean, do we drive our kids? Is this something that we do? We instill perfectionism?
Wonderful question. And I would say it's probably a mixture of both, you know, the nature and the nurture part of ourselves. We have certain tendencies when we're born to be a certain way. That being said, I think our environment definitely influences how we see the world and what our filters are. And so that can absolutely help that inclination if your inclination is already to have those perfectionist tendencies and then that's being affirmed in your family or in school, et cetera, then you're going to lean in that direction because you're getting affirmation for that.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
So I am an ENFP.
Oh,
and what are you?
Thank you for sharing.
Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
This is clinical code talk.
They're talking code. They're talking code on us.
This is Myers-Briggs. My preference is for extroversion, intuition, feeling, and judging. So ENFJ, very close.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's tell the listeners a little bit about maybe, you know, that playing into the role of a perfectionist, you know, does that have any play? And, you know, like kind of does personality traits, tendencies have anything to do with being a recovering perfectionist? Because I'm a struggling perfectionist. I'm not recovering yet, but I'm getting there. I have to get your book first.
Yeah, please do. And by the way, my book, Stepping Into More, is a autobiographical self-help book. So I share my journey, and at the end of each chapter, I share lessons learned, and then I also have questions for the reader. So it really is an opportunity for folks to reflect on, you know, how my journey impacts their life and thinking about how that applies to them. To answer your question, I think that you could really be a perfectionist with any of the Myers-Briggs type. Mm-hmm. I would say that it's a universal syndrome that can strike anybody.
No, this is a very, very hot topic because sometimes people have to unlearn what they've learned to kind of get out of this type of mind frame and kind of get over themselves, which is very interesting.
So when we come back from our break, Rachel, what we want to do is talk a little bit about social media as well, kind of bring in a little bit of the social media and how you've used social media to, you know, reach your audience, to promote your book, to help you with your business, and kind of where you've had some successes, where you, you know, feel like you could do better. And maybe we can share some of our expertise as well.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, we have something from Tony that came in via Facebook. Kevin, would you like to handle that?
Sure. Yeah, we got a question in for you. It says, good morning. It's been a while since I texted the show, but I listen every week. My question is, does astrology play a part in the predisposition of a perfectionist?
Interesting. You know, I cannot claim to be an expert in astrology, so I can't even tackle that one.
Well, my mom is an expert. Let's get my mom on the line here.
But we know you have a go-to person. All right. So listen, we're going to take a break, and Rachel has provided us with a nice clip of her music. So during the break, you're going to hear her sing, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that, because this is part of what she does and part of connecting with her audience or her tribe. So we'll be right back. You're inside the Social Sandbox. Creating financial security isn't about looking at the mistakes you've made in the past. It's about creating a solid plan for the future and utilizing tools to help achieve the level of prosperity you deserve, all without requiring any change to your current income. This financial GPS tool pulls the financial accounts into one central location. It uses advanced banking strategies to analyze the fastest, most effective financial strategy to eliminate your debt and build up cash reserves in your bank account. Now, this is completely confidential, and you keep your private records private. Now, what you do is simply decide where you want to go financially, and this financial GPS tool guides you on the quickest, fastest, most effective path to get there. Make a free analysis appointment today. Experience what your financial future has inside for you. This is by invitation only. Visit www.dothemathnetwork.com. Once again, www.dothemathnetwork.com.
So long, sad times. Go long, bad times. We are rid of you at last. Howdy, gay times. Cloudy, gray times. You are now a thing of the past. Days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. Together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt us now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles.
You have been listening to the cool, sultry sounds of Rachel Carew.
Amazing.
That was great.
Closed my eyes. I pretended I was fluffing my pillow behind me in the lounge.
Oh, sweet.
I'm surprised that you're not with Disney. I mean, this is a perfect Disney voice for all the characters. I mean, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. The
bigger thing is that was stifled inside of you, that you were not able to share that for all those years. But, you know, Rachel, and I'm sure you can attest to this, that nothing is by chance or accident. And just like you said, how your jobs kind of paralleled, you know, in the music industry, it was just setting it up for the season, for the time for you to bring this all to fruition and come out with that amazing, beautiful voice of yours.
Thank you. I really appreciate what you're saying, Kathleen, because I believe that everything happens in its own time and when it's meant to be. And for years, I sort of lived in regret, thinking about what if, or, you know, someday I could have, would have, should have. And now, as the journey continues to unfold for me, I just realized that, you know, this was the path I was meant to take. And all these things happen definitely for a reason. The work that I do, the places I've worked, and mm-hmm. all the experiences I've had have led me to this point. So I feel really great about how things are continue to unfold for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, we have to ask you, of course, when did you get introduced to social media, and then how are you using it to put yourself out there, and also your book? How are you promoting it? Are you using Pinterest? What are you using? Facebook? How's all that coming together for you, and how are you using it?
Sure. Well, this has definitely been a learning process for me. Initially, I mean, I've had a Facebook page for a long time, and I've had a mm-hmm. Twitter account for a while. But when I started really promoting the book, I was working with a PR person who was a social media specialist. And so what we did was I created a fan page on Facebook, and we also did what's called a blog tour, where I had about 28 different blogs announce the launch of my book, and I had about 10 of them write reviews on their blogs. And then I did a contest. So I gave away all kinds of little goodies for people that participated in the contest. As a way to spread the word. And then another interesting thing I did was on Kindle, they have what's called free days. And for 3 days, when I first launched the book, I was allowing people to download it on Kindle for free, and over 800 people downloaded it.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then all of a sudden I was like the number 2 happiness book category for the free giveaway on Kindle. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. So those are some ways specifically I've been using social media. I also have a Constant Contact account and have a database of people that I communicate with, and Twitter and a website and my blog. I also did use Indiegogo as a little experiment to see if I could get some support behind my project, which, by the way, includes not only the book, but the second part of the project will be a CD of songs to accompany the book. And the third step will be a show and a keynote where I'm singing as I'm sharing my story. So I used Indiegogo for that as well.
Wow. Well, what have you found to be the area you've been able to connect with most with your audience?
That's a great question. So far, I'd have to say Facebook has been the most I've gotten the most amount of dialogue or interaction going. Mm-hmm. People also really – I do have videos on YouTube as well. And so people enjoy – I find the video piece – but yeah, Facebook has been easiest to communicate with people. I find with Twitter, I personally haven't been able to really establish any real relationships on Twitter as of yet. I'm open to any ideas that you guys have.
Yeah, definitely. I was just kind of going through your Twitter account here, and I think the Twitter is definitely a unknown vehicle for communication, and it really it requires more than to for a lot of our listeners, you know, just this is my input, but you know, a lot of us become this is our town crier kind of push where we push out a lot of information about our what we're doing, what our book's doing, or what you know, what are we doing at the time. But it really is an opportunity if you find influencers out there that you like to follow that could help you and you reach out to them via Twitter. So by doing a shout out, you know, by going, hey, at, you know, I am Kevin, you know, really enjoyed being on your radio show today. It's using it as a vehicle of communication. It starts the dialogue and people go, oh, who's Rachel? Let me find out more about her. You know, let me engage with her. I'm going to follow her, you know, so it's, and in trying to start engagement, a lot of people are shy, you know, it depends on their personality and they more like to kind of watch or just kind of push information out there. But, you know, Twitter is a phenomenal tool for publishers or authors, speakers. But you got to build that following of engaged followers that, you know, kind of reach out to you. And people are – that's the thing I find out about Twitter is people are willing to – you might get access to like a movie star. Here, you know, they'll tweet you back. Where if you Facebook them, you know, there's just so many people doing that, you don't really get access to them. So I kind of use Twitter for that myself to reach out to people that are harder to get a hold of.
So inside of Twitter, do they allow you – is there like a pages like business pages, things like that? How does that engage, Kevin? I have a question about that.
Not really. Everybody's got their own page, so it's kind of a level playing field on Twitter.
Okay.
Brands have their own page and – really the way, you know, people by tweeting and tweeting content that is relevant to an audience that you're trying to reach, people will hear about you using what are called hashtags. So if I, you know, I see that you're, you know, you sometimes use hashtags like constant contact or you could, you know, talk about perfection, you know, hashtag perfectionist, really, you know, if you wanted to promote your book. So everything you tweet about that's related to your book, you know, I would hashtag perfectionist, which you've done a few times.
Mm-hmm.
That people who follow that start to, or other keywords that, you know, find out those keywords that perfectionists tend to, because a lot of us don't like to admit we're perfectionists. So we're not really seeking out that word, but, you know, maybe a word that people are seeking out that has to do with perfectionism, you know, so. That's the,
I think the slang term for that now, Kevin, is, you know what I'm saying?
Denial. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm in denial. Hashtag I'm in denial. You know?
I like that.
I'll keep reminding you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Rachel, here on the in the Social Sandbox, we have some of the most amazing, successful, talented guests on the show, such as yourself. And while each and every one knows that they need to be using social media, that doesn't mean that they all love it, right, and are experts at it. And so when we have our guest on, our listening base is made up of a lot of professionals and business owners. And so we always like to share with them, you know, we like to pose that to our guest, you know, what's your favorite? What's your struggle? So that they feel like, you know, they don't have to be perfect in the sense that you never really perfectionize your social media. It's a working effort for all of us, right? It's ever changing and ever growing. I'm not sure if you were listening in our intro, we were talking about YouTube and the redesign. And instantly I was thinking of you because on your YouTube, although you have hundreds of hits, you got to work on your subscribers. And so a nice intro featured video for you just in telling them what you do and inviting them to subscribe to your channel would be a tip from me, Kathleen Ray, to you.
I like that. Yeah, it always seems to me like with YouTube or Twitter, feels sort of like a black hole. Like, how do people find, you know, it's like I kind of put out a message or whatever, and then who are these people that, and how are they finding me?
They're finding you.
Well, they're searching, you know, Google. A lot of people don't realize Google is the number one search engine, but YouTube is the number two search engine out there. So if you put in, and in Google, really gives credibility to YouTube videos. So if you'll notice like on the front page of Google, when you search on a topic, usually there's at least one video there from YouTube. And so if you tag your keywords, some of these keywords that are relative to what you're speaking about or what you're singing about or what have you in your videos. When people search on that, you will get more and more people finding you. And there's a lot of people who really can, you know, relate to you or connect with you. And you just got to find those people and really speak to them. And that's how you build your audience. But those become your advocates, your ambassadors that will draw in other people.
That's what I'm looking for, finding the tribe.
That's right.
And one of the things I love that you did is when you said you gave away the free books, and Kevin and I talk a lot about that with our clients. It's really important to give without expecting, you know, in return. And in your case, when you give away something like that as a book, I mean, that's a high referral sort of mentality for books, right? People read your book and then they tell their friends, you have to read this book. So it's an investment of you getting it out there, and it eventually comes back to work for you.
Thanks for that affirmation.
Team, would she be great on Pinterest with what she has?
Well, you know, I think so. I mean, if you have a lot of quotable things in your book, you know, that relate to people that are going through recovering as a perfectionist or, you know, identifying, you know, like it's kind of like the whole Myers-Briggs is really understanding who you are and how you relate to other people. If you came up with little tips, little quotes about your book and you pin them, other people will want to share the, you know, quotes are really popular for sharing.
That's a great idea. I like that.
So, you know, people will say, who's Rachel Carew, you know, and they'll start to do research on you and always kind of draw it back to your blog or your website. Yeah, because that's what Pinterest is really good at, is pushing traffic back to the original source. So what I would do is post these tips, if you daily tips, weekly tips, whatever you want to call them, on your blog, and you don't have to always, you know, feature them as a blog post, but when if you pin those pictures, they'll draw them back to the blog or your website, and therefore they'll search around and look a little bit more and stumble on to more what you're doing and then find out about your book and all those kind of things.
Fantastic. Yeah, I was just thinking about that for you only because I think your topic and probably some of the things you say are just can be connected with so many different people with so many different frames of references. I think that would be a great way. I mean, this is JC the Average Joe looking in at this, and I see a match.
You're catching on, JC, especially since Pinterest is primarily a female based, and as mothers and wives and business owners, we struggle or borderline perfectionism. So it's nice to have somebody out there supporting us. So if people want to learn more about Rachel and they want to get her book, Rachel, can you tell our listeners how they can do that?
Absolutely. Well, first off, people can go to my website, which is www.raedevelopment.com.
And can you say that twice?
Sure. Thank you. www.raedevelopment.com. I have also a blog and videos and other good stuff up there as well. And I also can be found on Facebook as Rachel Carew, K-A-R-U, author and singer. Rachel Carew, author and singer. And you can also find me on Twitter under Rachel Carew, K-A-R-U. And as well, where did I miss? I think I
YouTube
got them.
YouTube and Twitter.
Yes, thank you, YouTube. That's what I was looking for, YouTube and Twitter.
We wanted her first name is spelled R-A-C-H-E-L. So
thank
I just wanted
you.
To make sure that everyone gets that right.
Listen, we'll have all ahead. The information as well on our Facebook page so our listeners can go straight to the Social Sandbox Radio Show Facebook page, and we'll have it all posted there as well.
And how do they get there, Kathleen?
They go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/social sandbox.
There you go. Ooh, that was a joint effort. I
Woo-hoo!
Love it. All right. Well, listen, thank you for being our guest today. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Rachel. It's been a pleasure having you today.
Thank you, Rachel, for joining us.
Great meeting all of you. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah.